don't be worried about that. Obviously, there's a microphone sitting there. We do a lot of awareness, and I try to get people interested in as many ways as I can. So we produce little videos and little audios, and as long as nobody minds, I'm just going to record a small session of this so we can sort of give some information out to the public and to give them a little taster of how interesting or how boring I can be. So my name's Charlie. I'm from Willow's Hedgehog Rescue, and we're based in Bromsgrove. And we cover quite a large area, basically Worcester town centre, north, up to Northfield here, and across to Kidderminster, Droitwich, Redditch, Longbridge, quite a big geographical area. And one thing that was just mentioned, sort of leading me into the talk, is hedgehogs are in severe decline. And they are seen as an indicator species because they're insectivores. So how the hedgehog population is doing tells us pretty much about how the environment is. And a bit of a sad fact, RSPB, Big Garden Bird Watch 2014, they had other sort of questions on there, and one of the questions was, you know, how often have you seen a hedgehog? And in the West Midlands, a quarter of people had never seen a hedgehog. Now, if you consider that in the 1950s, the estimates were, and obviously going back to sort of 50s, it's a little bit sketchy, but the estimates were that there were between 35 and 36 million hedgehogs in the UK. Now we're looking at less than a million. And in the last 10 years, there's been a 25% decline, it's judged, in the hedgehog population. I suppose the question is, how many people have seen a hedgehog in the last year?
No, only dead on the road.
Two, only dead on the road. Three people out of, what are we looking, sort of 20, 25 people? Everybody would have seen a hedgehog. Sadly, we do, well, not sadly, we don't do a lot of events, but we, throughout the year, will probably attend about 20, 30 events during the year. Big shows promoting hedgehog awareness. And the most often comment we get is, I've never seen a hedgehog. Mm-hmm. I go into schools, do a lot of education in schools. And again, the largest proportion of the class won't have seen a hedgehog. So it's a rather sad situation. And hedgehog decline can really be traced back. They also use the spines to break a fall as well. Hedgehogs don't really have a fear of falling, and they will literally walk off the edge. So if you've got one of these sort of tiered gardens, a lot of them, they'll just come to the edge of the brick face before the next level, and they'll just walk straight off it. But what they automatically do is they curl up into a ball, flex the spines, and they will bounce on the spines. They're extremely good climbers. There are stories of them being on top of fences. Not a regular occurrence, but they are very, very good climbers. In our secure garden, ones that are waiting to go out, we have a number of purpose-built runs, and they have wooden sides probably up to about 2 foot, and then a post coming up and some sort of angled chicken wire above that. And we had to put the angled chicken wire on there because they will literally climb up. But we've had them climb up the wood, up the chicken wire, and even though a bit like a sort of fox fence where you'll have an angle at the top, they've kind of gone under and over. So they're extremely tenacious little creatures. They're like little tanks. If they decide they're going somewhere, they go there, and they literally just bulldoze their way through. They're also very good swimmers, and they will swim a stream to get across it. And we get an awful lot of hoglets in, and when we've got them in, we have to feed them every 2 hours from 6 o'clock in the morning until midnight. Now, we've both got full-time jobs, so we've got 3 hoglet nannies who help us while we're at work. And these are 3 little hoglets from a litter a couple of years ago. And they take a lot of patience. Some of them you have to really coax to feed. Others will just guzzle and guzzle, but they can actually die because they overeat. So you've really got to control the amount of food that they're taking. And they go through very, very distinctive phases. When they come in, it can be a struggle to get the first couple of feeds into them. But then they kind of accept you as surrogate mum. And as they develop, you will find that when you go in for the next feed, and when they're very, very small, when they're that kind of size, they have to be an incubator. We've got 3 incubators in the rescue that they go into. Once they get a little bit bigger, they come out of the incubator and go into heated pens. And you will find you're going to the rescue, and as soon as they hear you going to the hospital area, they will all come to the front of the pens, basically making a noise halfway between a peep and a mew, saying, "Feed me, feed me." Then they get 2, not quite as old as those. Here we go. So kind of teenage stage, I call it. And this little guy here, initially they're having a milk replacer. It's not dairy. It's not cow's milk. That would kill them. Initially they have a milk replacer, and then we start to blend in very high protein prescription dog food, which basically you would give to dogs that are recovering from an operation or very old dogs. And that mixture is slowly strengthened until they're weaned off the milk. But they get to this age, and as I say, they turn into what I consider as teenagers. Because a litter will come out at a time, and we can have anything sort of 6, 7, 8 litters in. Remember, there are 6 hoglets in each litter. And you will bring a litter out to feed it, and while you're feeding the one, we make notes of how much they've eaten, what their weight gains have been in between each feed. So, you know, there'll be their patient sheet there and your pen. And while you're feeding one of them, the others will just pick the pen up and run off with it and start playing with it. And I think it's like most young animals, they learn through play. So they go through this very, very sort of playful period where we don't go into the hospital unless we've physically got to, but you can kind of enjoy this period. Because I've been there feeding a litter of hoglets, and one of them's being fed, and another 5 have just been attacking my fingers on my hand, you know, saying, "Feed me, feed me, feed me." So it's quite a nice little stage with them. When they get a little bit older from that, and they're self-sufficient, but they will then move into larger pens in the rescue. And basically, they will have their food bowls at the front, and at the back they will have their bedding. And all the adult hedgehogs, when they're in, they'll sleep at the back, come out the front, eat at the bowls, do their business at the front. That's how they do it. Hoglets that are about 5 weeks old, they won't eat at the front of the pen. They will come to the front, they'll pick the bowls up, and they take them to the back of the pen, and they eat at the back of the pen. And I just think it's like, you know, teenagers, they also want to eat in their bedroom, don't they? You find everything snuck up into the bedroom so they can eat it in bed rather than eating it downstairs. And then once they get a bit older, they'll stop doing that. So they do go through these very, very distinctive phases. Really big thing, because, you know, there's a big push on at the moment for building houses. There are going to be tens of thousands of houses going up, and it's going to take away an awful lot of habitat. We've got some builders on board. They're listed on our website. We've been talking to individual builders, and we've got about 4 within sort of Worcestershire and the West Midlands now that are putting gaps in for hedgehogs. They're also putting hedgehog homes in as well into some of the properties, so they've gone a little bit above and beyond. We've also got a fencing manufacturer in Coventry now who is producing a hedgehog-friendly gravel board for us with a pre-made hole in it. And for each one bought, that fencing company is giving us a donation. But we are really trying to get it into sort of planning regs. It's a simple thing to do. You know, basically we're selling you a hole. So it's not a great amount of mitigation really, is it? And it's not just hedgehogs that it benefits, because it will benefit frogs as well and toads, because any kind of ground-dwelling mammal, it means they animal, they can get between the gardens. One of the builders came back and said that they wouldn't do it because of guinea pigs and rabbits. Now, we've got a lot of gardens where hedgehogs have come in from to us that have guinea pigs and rabbits, and they tend to be in big runs. And, okay, if you do occasionally let your guinea pig run around the garden, it doesn't take much to just have a piece of board that you put in front of that hole for the period that the guinea pig's out. Because, you know, you're not going to leave the guinea pig running around the garden at night. So the hedgehog's up at night. So you can easily block it during the day, open it back up at night. And of course, it's a lot easier to block an existing hole than it is to put one in. So it didn't stand up as much of an argument to us. Within the garden, we run a competition with schools, which is a...
Could I just ask you that when you have hedgehogs who are ready for release,
yeah,
do you go out into an urban setting or do you go to the countryside?
They
and
will.
Do you put a number of them together to make a little colony,
right,
or separate them?
They will. There's a few criteria around it, because as a rescue centre, there are a lot of requirements on us. So we have to keep a lot of documentation on the hedgehogs. We have to keep a lot of standards. And part of that is that we cannot release an animal where it's going to be at a disadvantage, because that would basically be neglect. It'd be a bit like raising a small child and then sitting it in the middle of a motorway or something. So where they can, they go back to where they were found. The only time they don't go back to where they were originally found was if it was something like a poisoning or a dog attack, or we had a badger attack in 2 days ago. Most of the time we don't see the badger attacks because they literally shred the hedgehog. So if there's a known danger there that we can't mitigate, then they will be relocated somewhere else. The other instance are hoglet litters. We will split a hoglet litter up, because as the population is declining, there's a lot more interbreeding between siblings, and unfortunately they start to get a lot of genetic problems then. So we will split litters up. Some will go back to where they came from, but others, we'll mix litters. So we will take, you know, a female from one litter and a male from another litter, because again, you're helping to sort of keep the gene pool diverse. If they come from the country, they go back to the country. If they come from the town, they go back to the town. So, because certainly with... Hedgehogs aren't territorial.
I think the presentation we've had from Charlie today has been, for me, extremely informative about hedgehogs. But he's also ranged widely, ecologically, and touched on many things that are of interest, I think, to us all, because I think we all share a common concern about what is happening to our environment and